now, broadcasting on StarWorldWideNetworks.com. It's time for Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Let's tap into your own authentic genius and live the life you desire. Join Dr. Rademacher for an enlightened conversation about our brain intelligence, our body intelligence, and our energy intelligence. And now, here's your host, Dr. Bart Rademacher.
So welcome. I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, and this is the Doctor's Guide and the Prescription for Your Transformation. Real people, real conversations, and real success. You know, talking about how to tap into that authentic genius within you, which is a program that I've been talking about for the last, 6 years. And why? Because it was so important for me to be able to share with you the type of information that you could actually use for yourself. And based on the fact that it was trustworthy, you know, the key concept today is what is that information that you can trust? And just going through the navigation of all these different websites and these static conditions, you know, it was really hard to differentiate, is this real or not? And we all know it's so important to have information that we can totally trust. And so that's why I actually started this interview series, so that you can decide, based on the actual experience of listening to this interview, whether you could trust this information or not. And my focus was predominantly to those people that didn't have that voice, so that they were able then to share the magic of what it is that they knew, with their friends, with their clients, and with anybody else that could potentially benefit from that. And so that was really exciting for me. And so my approach has been a little different than those typical podcasters, and that's my journey. And I've decided to make a major shift for this year, because I've also recognized that, where is it that we want to get that information for our own health optimization? Because I think that's the big challenge these days, right? Is that, we live in this environment that quite frankly is not conducive to optimizing our health. And there's so many things that we have to now start looking at so that we can make the appropriate adjustments in order to have the quality of life that is just absolutely out of this world. I mean, why not? Why not recoup all that energy that we had as a child rather than being hypnotized by the fact that we're supposed to get old and be achy and have all these other types of complaints? So the journey, Health Optimization 2022, or HEOPS, as I like to call it, Health Optimization Strategy, spelled HEAOPS. You can add a T between the T and the S if you want to. But here's the thing. There's so much science out there. There's so many incredibly brilliant people bringing out the coolest things that you can now begin to implement in your own life. I mean, it's all over the place. There's so much information. It's going to be really hard to digest it all. And then the problem that we have, of course, is can we trust it? So that's part of my process, right? Here to curate, the concepts that I believe are going to be important for you. And then it's entirely up to you to verify the information that you're hearing from me and to ensure that it's going to be right for you. And if you need to, obtain the appropriate medical advice from your own primary physician, then I say, go ahead and do that. Now, this is kind of my disclaimer here right now, okay? So I'm introducing to you the thoughts and the ideas and the insights and the science that I'm able to gather. And then it's up to you to verify. It's all about, partnership in a way in your own health. It's been way too long that as patients, we've completely relied on our doctors to tell us what we can and cannot do. But guess what? People are limited. In today's world, with so much information and doctors becoming even more specialized, right? It's harder for the docs to really embrace all that type of information out there. And so that's actually another mission of mine. I have this masterclass designed for doctors called Fuel, getting back in the driver's seat of their practice, you know, giving them a different way of approaching, you know, their passion in life is to help you, to heal you, right? But we've got to think differently than we did before, because whatever worked in the past, guess what? It's not working today. And as a client, as a consumer, we all know that. I'm a client and a consumer too, and I know it doesn't work, right? Because there is so much available out there, and you need to make sure that you're getting the right information. So our journey, and if you haven't started off with my journey yet, I would say go back. Go back to the first of the year, week one of Health Optimization 2022. Because therein I lay the foundation of how it is that you're going to be able to interpret and process the information that it's being given to you, either by me or somebody else. And actually understand, you know, what is it that you really want? What are the questions that you actually have to be asking? Because just by listening to what other people are saying, you know, we've got to be proactive. You know, we have to be critical in what it is that we're hearing in order to differentiate, you know, is this idea appropriate for me or not? We can't just willy-nilly accept, you know, that somebody, what somebody else has to say is just gospel. We can't. And that's actually a big problem in our world today, right? We've got these powerfully loud voices telling everybody what to think. Well, that's a story for another day. But anyhow, the first 6 weeks is the basics of our behavior. If you haven't gone and listened to that, I highly recommend that you go and do that. Then last week, it was really now about figuring out, you know, what's your starting point? You know, what is it that you actually are aware of right now as to what your status of your health is? And are you, in fact, really fully aware of the things that actually might be going wrong? You know, what are the symptoms and the aches and the bloating and other kinds of complaints that you've just accepted because somebody told you you've got to accept them? You know, are you just accepting these? But when they really are signals to you, it's that red blinking, you know, or that orange blinking light on your dashboard of your car that's telling you, oops, you know, something is wrong and you better address it. Otherwise, this car is going to break down. Well, that's you. That's every single symptom that you have. It's the sniffle. It's the cough. It's the belly ache. You know, it's the rash on your skin. You know, oftentimes people think, well, I'm allergic to something. Well, quite frankly, if you got a rash on your skin, there's probably some sort of imbalance inside of you. And this is just a signal for you to say, okay, you know, we need to have a serious look at our health right now. And how do we go about it? So last week, again, was about identifying those parts that you need to start looking at and then designing what your future is. You know, again, it's about what is the target? What is my target right now? Because without that, what's going to happen is there won't be any direction. Everything is going to be at random, so to speak, perhaps by your spontaneous inspiration that may actually not take you to where you actually need to go. So having that awareness of what's going on in your life right now and also what's going to be that target. And with the questions as to what am I focusing on? What does this mean? You know, what if this is true? What if it's not true? You know, what am I missing? And then finally, what is it that I want and what will I do? Again, what is it that I want? You know, all behavior is motivated by positive intent, most of which is probably unconscious, you know, as we talked about before. But what is that positive intent for you that you want to serve? Optimum health. So if you haven't set those goals, those outcomes, and the four quadrants, and if you remember, the four quadrants are sleep, nutrition, movement, and mindfulness. I like to kind of keep things simple because as soon as we get too complicated, right, we get confused. And a confused mind is not going to make decisions. And quite frankly, a confused mind will probably adopt a habit that doesn't serve them. And it'll just serve the motivation reward pathway. That's the dopamine pathway that's not going to serve you in the long term. So, you know, what are, say, three goals per quadrant. So if you think about sleep, if you think about nutrition, if you think about movement, or you think about mindfulness, and you if you haven't done that, then, well, obviously, if this is the live broadcast, you can't kind of stop me, right? But if you're listening to this one again, then go ahead, stop the audio, and then just simply, you know, write down what are, say, three goals for each of those quadrants: three goals for sleep, three goals for nutrition, three goals for movement, and three goals for mindfulness. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to begin to explore each of these areas at a kind of superficial level, because I want you to appreciate, you know, the importance of these areas, so that as we move forward, then we'll go even do a deeper dive in each one of them. But the idea is to begin with to figure out, enhance that awareness of where you are now and the significance of perhaps some of the things that you then need to work on. So let's go ahead and start off with sleep. All right, well, what do you think about sleep? How would you rate your sleep from 0 to 10? You know, the truth is we all need sleep. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Animals need sleep. Insects need sleep. Did you know that birds can sleep with half their brain lit and half the brain sleeping? You may have noticed, actually, when birds are like set up in a line on one of those power lines, for example, right, that the ones on each end have the outside part of the brain alert and the inside part of the brain sleeping. And then they shift the spot so that they can have the other part of the brain sleep as well. It's kind of fascinating how that works. So sleep is important. And the numbers actually speak for yourself. And arguably, it's probably the easiest hack, you know, the biohack to implement. And quite frankly, it's perhaps the keystone habits that you need to have. And what do we mean by keystone habits? That habit that supports and strengthens all the other habits. So when you first ensure that that keystone habit is well drilled in, then it's going to support all the other ones. So improving sleep dramatically improves your health. Back in 1910, the average number of hours people were sleeping was 9 hours. 2018 is only 6.8. So just adding 1 hour will create a dramatic shift in your health. So my question for you, are you even measuring the quality of sleep? Do you actually know if you're sleeping well? And not simply based on how you feel in the morning and how easy it is to get up or not, but are you actually using any of these biometric devices that actually will tell you how well you're sleeping? You know, my two favorites are Garmin and Oura. In fact, I have one of each. And so I kind of challenge the information with both of them to kind of figure out, did I get enough REM sleep? And did I get enough deep sleep? And all this will make a difference, because depending on what happened during the day, depending on my preparation for sleep, and depending on my sleep hygiene, I can improve these numbers or not. But here's the truth that you need to know. There are over 80 different sleep disorders. But the most serious consequences are glucose intolerance. So that's insulin resistance. And so your energy metabolism is effective. And then what happens? Well, then you gain weight. And then what happens? Well, then you're increasing your blood pressure. You have increased, you know, inflammatory markers. Your cortisol levels are elevated, especially at night. You've got a higher risk of developing a heart attack and cancer, and more likely to have a problem with depression. And if that's not enough, there's a lot more that's going on. Because the truth is that your body needs time to recover. It needs to heal. Your cells need to have the opportunity to recover from the daily stresses. And in particular, because of the intense stresses that we deal with every single day, whether it's just the people around us, whether it's the job, whether it's the light, whether it's the food, whether it's the pollution, you know, our body needs the time, the space to be able to rebalance itself and recover. You know, living in this fast-paced world that we live in, and quite frankly, you know, this whole concept of our brains are actually hacked by all this neural marketing that's out there and all the other, you know, social mores that we are now being bombarded with. And they're not really mores, but they're memes that tell us how we should be and how we should behave. You know, that our motivation and reward pathways are on overdrive. And so what does that really mean? It means that, you know, there's this fear of missing out, FOMO, right? So we choose to stay up. We choose to watch Netflix. We choose to go out partying. You know, we choose to, you know, work that extra hour or two because we're fearful that we're going to miss out on the next day or the next quota or something like that. And we actually forget, you know, what it is to live. You know, the Dalai Lama was asked once, you know, what surprises you most of man? And he said something to the effect, you know, man spends all this time making money, only to spend all this money to make time in the end. And this is one thing that really would confuse him. And so that's what we're doing. You know, the truth is that when we look at how we've evolved over millennia, right, we've evolved with the natural rhythms of the planet, you know, light and the dark. And that's actually the basis of our circadian rhythm. That circadian rhythm, that the master clock that's housed in the SCN, the suprachiasmatic nucleus in the hypothalamus. It's a really small, you know, organ in the brain that houses our master clock, you know, telling us when our hormones, you know, are being released and how our metabolic rate is affected throughout the entire day. And so with that disruption of the light and night rhythms, or what is it, the sleep and wakefulness rhythms, it really messes up everything. It messes up your metabolism. It messes up your hormones. And so it has a degenerative effect on every cell, every tissue in your body. And unless you've got the mechanism to help your body restore from that, then you're going to get yourself into some trouble very, very quickly. And so over millennia, we've evolved, as I mentioned, just in harmony, you know, with nature. And then about 150 years ago, right, they invented the light bulb. And then over the last 50 years, now with all the televisions and the digital materials, you know, we're so exposed to different stimuli that really then upset that rhythm as well. You see, throughout the day, through the morning, your cortisol begins to rise. And then at the end of the day, it starts to decrease. And then within a couple of hours of sleeping, your melatonin, a hormone also released in the brain that manages and controls your sleep patterns, your REM and your deep sleep, then begins to rise. And these are essential components in having that normal sleep and wake rhythm. And so lacking that again, based on, you know, other factors and other stimuli, then our sleep is going to be affected. In the United States, an average 60 million people are suffering from insomnia, and 3/4 of people with depression suffer from insomnia. So what is that? Is that a cause or is that an effect? So let's face it, sleep, lack of sleep is crippling you. Not getting enough sleep will break you down. And so we were talking about light. And so those that are behind the computers, and sometimes I'm doing that too often myself, is that blue light emitted from computers reduces melatonin by 50%. And then this, of course, affects the quality of the sleep that you're going to have. So are you wanting to put yourself at risk for developing cancer, obesity, high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, hormonal imbalances? I mean, think about it for a moment. Sleep is available to you. I mean, you can't live without sleep. I mean, you can live without water for quite some time. You can live without food for quite some time. Can you live without Netflix? Of course you can, but you can't live without sleep. You know, in 2020, the aggregate total of direct and indirect insomnia healthcare cost was estimated to be as high as $100 billion per year. Studies also show that lack of sleep or sleep deprivation reduces your ability by cognitive ability by at least 14%. So doing simple tasks takes you 14% times longer. Let me say that again. It takes you longer by 14%. And you're 20% more likely to make mistakes. Now just think of all the costs incurred in businesses for loss of productivity on mistakes and errors because people are not sleeping well enough. So if you're a business owner, well, maybe you need to start sleeping better yourself and getting your staff to sleep better. And here's something that I really don't understand. You know, we're supposed to be in a culture, progressive culture. I mean, progressive like advanced culture. I don't mean left or right, just an advanced culture, Western culture that really understands health at the highest level, as well as education, right? Our kids, they need 9, 10, potentially 11 hours of sleep. And now these schools require them to be at school at what time? 7 a.m.? I mean, that's just simply insane. So we all need good sleep. Now, here's what's interesting. You know, sleep is just not a passive process. It's actually a very active one. I think 25% of your average energy utilization actually happens, you know, throughout the night. So sleep is an active process. It's also what we call suspended consciousness and has a diminished sensory activity, as well as a reduced ability to react to stimuli. So we've got, like I mentioned, the circadian rhythms and sleep homeostasis. You know, sleep homeostasis is what will keep sleep in a healthy state. We've got the biological clocks, which I mentioned, in the hypothalamus and the suprachiasmatic nucleus, and responsive to internal cues, but also the external ones, which we call Zeitgebers. Interesting name. Light acts on the photosensitive ganglion cells in the retina and then sends signals directly to the suprachiasmatic nucleus in the hypothalamus, providing synchronization with the environment. I mean, remember, we evolved over millennia in harmony with the environment. And you'll notice that I talk a lot about that specifically because our bodies are responsive to everything that's around us. And so in everything that we're going to talk about in the Health Optimization 2022 is based on how we're responding to the environment. It's no different when you walk into a room and it appears to be a really warm room, or the people appear to be really warm, then, you know, it's going to be a good feeling for you versus a hostile one. We are responding to the environment around us. You know, we have what's called these mirror neurons, by the way. And so our neurons are mirroring other people's neurons. And if somebody's in an angry state, then we kind of probably get in that, you know, irritated or elevated state as well, because our neurons are kind of mirroring them. This is also an important concept. When we watch people doing nice things, it makes us feel good and inspires us to do nice things. So why am I actually saying that? In all the conversations that we're going to have regarding our biochemistry, our cells and our DNA are also responding to the environment. You know, we don't live in a bubble where we're immune to the effects in the environment. And so that's the terrain. So we've got to affect the outside terrain, the pollution as an example, that's a good one, and the internal terrain, and more about all of that as we move forward. So some of the external terrain, or the external environment, the, you know, light is, for example, that primary Zeitgeberger. But other factors include exercise, temperature, social cues, and hormones, as well as sound, of course, and, you know, the Earth's magnetic field. So bringing this up now as an introduction to, you know, how to adopt a very hygienic sleep environment is you can actually begin to start doing the research yourself if you think it's interesting and important for you. And there's so many great books out there that are talking about that. But we will be talking about this in depth for a whole entire session, you know, in the coming weeks. Because again, this is about emphasizing those areas that you're going to start wanting to look at. And then approaching this in a bit of a holistic manner. You see, the challenge that I think that happens with us sometimes is that we suddenly get this insight that, oh, well, this is wrong. Well, let me start fixing that. And then we don't see quite the result that we want to get. And then we let that one go, and then we try to go do something else. And we kind of hop from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. When the truth of the matter is that when we look at it in a holistic, in a complete manner, and I like to, you know, consider it or position it more in the form of, you know, what's the trifecta, right? So 3-on-3, as I like to go at it, or like to call it, or 3-on-4. And that's why we have 4 quadrants, you know, sleep, nutrition, movement, and mindfulness. What if you did, you know, 3 of each of those? And even if it's a small shift, the aggregate of all of that is what makes the real difference versus doing 100% in one and one thing of one thing, because it's never enough. And so it's all about small increments in a variety of different areas that will support you in that momentum towards optimizing health. It's not an overnight thing. It's not going to happen over 1 week. You know, if we're looking at your biomarkers, it's not going to happen in 1 month. You know, it could take several years. You have to remember this. This whole health optimization journey 2022 is throughout that year. All the different things that you can be implementing throughout the year, small additions over time, it's really kind of sort of like the law of compounding. And I think Einstein said this was the 8th wonder of the world, you know, the law of compounding. But let's get back to some stats. According to the CDC, 1 in 3 people do not get enough sleep. Lack of sleep affects your cognitive function. Lack of sleep is going to affect your memory or ability for recall. So lack of sleep is going to increase your insulin resistance. So you're going to have higher glucose levels, and therefore all the things, the bad things that can happen with that, leading up to diabetes and a process that's called glycosylation, which means an addition of sugars to proteins or fats, lipids, that then cause all sorts of dysfunction within the cell. These are not good things for our health. So it's going to age you faster. Lack of sleep, you know, you're going to store more body fat, and the problems with that as well, which I'll be discussing in a moment. I'm just going to allude to it right now. It increases our toxin levels. And so the question is, you know, it's a difference between, you know, working and being effective, right? Sleep is going to help you be that much more effective. As we talked about, you know, doing tests, you know, if you're sleep deprived, it takes you 14% longer and a 20% increase of errors. And then, of course, you know, when you're driving and the loss of GDP, loss of lives, cause of disability, all these things. So let's look at it this way. Sleep has value. It's not something we can ignore. So your sleep assessment now, basically involves the following. And that is, are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting enough quality sleep? Are you drowsy throughout the day? Do you have to take naps? Well, actually, naps is a good thing, by the way. But are you having difficulty staying awake throughout the day? And then what about, you know, the environment that you sleep in? You know, is it noisy? You know, is it too hot? You know, are there many disruptions? You know, all these different things. So that is what you're going to want to assess right now. And when we go into a future session and we do a deep dive in sleep to help you figure out what it is that you can do. But again, this is about laying out the groundwork as to all the work that you're going to want to be focusing on in the future and the rest of this year, making sure that you're addressing in a comprehensive and a smart way to optimize your health. So while we can't ignore sleep, right? I mean, we just have to sleep. What's the other thing we just can't ignore? Well, that's our nutrition and our water intake, right? You know, how well are we hydrated? I think about 75% of the population is poor or is dehydrated. And just the fact of dehydration, you know, is a great stress on the entire physiology of the body, your brain. And one of the big ones is as far as getting oxygen, you know, to the cells so that, you know, your cells are getting enough oxygen to be energized and to be functioning properly. And then the other part is, you know, getting rid of all the, you know, byproducts, the toxic products from metabolism, as well as other, you know, absorb, you know, toxins from the environment and having the cells have the energy, you know, to be getting rid of that. So the hydration alone is a big deal. And so the truth is you need to be drinking, you know, half your weight in water, but not just any kind of water. I mean, it has to be pure water, number one. It has to be without these horrible toxins like glyphosates that are ubiquitous in our environment. And so what water are you consuming? And have you actually, you know, looked at the tests for the actual water that you're consuming? And so getting the right kinds of water filters is going to be huge. You can't just drink, you know, tap water. And sometimes, you know, the bottled water that we get is perhaps not appropriate. So make sure you're drinking the right kinds of water. And I did mention pure water just a moment ago. Here's the thing. We also require minerals. So just drinking pure water without minerals is not a good thing either. And so if you're going to these water delivery systems that remove all minerals, you better watch out. You have to make sure you get the right kinds of minerals. So here again, what's the water consumption and what's the quality of water that you're taking in? And while coffee and teas can deliver, you know, very interesting micronutrients that are beneficial to us, it can't just be that. And certainly soda water is not a good thing with all the sugar and all the other, you know, artificial flavors and colors. You know, that's not a good thing. Pure water, clean water. I think that's the word, clean water. Think about clean water. All right, so we got the water out of the way. And I'll do a plug for particular filter called the Berkey filter. And I didn't have one of these for the longest period of time. But this Berkey filter, they're kind of pricey. But I have one next to my sink and I'm filling that thing up at least 4 or 5 times a day because I do everything with that filter. I wash my fruits, I wash my vegetables, I cook my foods in it, you know, everything. I even use that water for my hydroponic system where I grow my own herbs. So think about clean water. Now, the other thing, obviously, is nutrition. And it's unfortunate that 1/3 of the American population doesn't know how to cook. So what does that mean? Where they're eating out or they're just consuming microwavable food items that are replete with all sorts of bad things in them. And not going in depth in that now, we'll do that next time. But here's the thing. By eating out all the time, you really have no control of what it is that you're eating. And then, of course, the impact that it has on your body. And so let's take your nutrition into context for a moment. Even the fathers of modern medicine, back in the ancient Greek times with Hippocrates, making this very clear statement, medicine is thy food, food is thy medicine, is so true today. But we take it all for granted. I mean, how much time are you actually focused on what it is that you're actually consuming? Because we just don't think about it, do we? And I honestly only started thinking about it in a very simplistic manner about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I was just simply monitoring, okay, how do I feel after I drink a certain thing? And one of my favorite drinks of all time, and this is this originates from neuromarketing, by the way, that was drinking Coca-Cola, because I wanted to be part of a phenomenon, which was, you know, Coca-Cola, right? And it's, they still have such an influence on people. And if you haven't heard the story about Coca-Cola, you should hear about it. But here's the thing. I had such a great anchor with drinking Coca-Cola that I just was drawn to it, you know, all the time, up to a point when I recognized that I wasn't feeling well after drinking, you know, Coca-Cola, and I started monitoring it. And then for the longest period of time, it took me about 2 years to finally totally give it up. You know, occasionally once I'll try a sip, but then immediately my body responds and rejects it. The point that I'm getting at is that every time I drank it, I didn't feel good afterwards, and I didn't understand why. And nothing against the company, it's just that it's not what my body wants. And this is what we have to recognize. What is it that your body wants to function well? And if we look back, and this is kind of the principle of, or the idea of first principles, where no further examination will reveal anything. And it's how we've evolved. And we've evolved over millions of years in harmony with nature, right? Look at us today compared to, you know, even 100 years ago, let alone 1,000, 2,000, you know, 10,000, 20,000 years ago. When did the problem start? Well, that was probably about 15,000 years ago. And some experts will claim that this was the worst mistake of humankind. And that is the invention of agriculture. I mean, think about it. That's a bad invention? Well, it is in many ways. Made a lot worse, by the way, by all this GMOs out there. And that was an interesting revelation for me, you know, recently. You know, I thought, you know, I'm a scientist. And I'm thinking, well, let's make, you know, food production a lot more efficient. I mean, there's more people to feed. So is there a way to make it more efficient, to have higher content of nutrients, you know, faster growth, and then, of course, you know, resistance against diseases and insects? I mean, as a scientist, that would make kind of sense. But there's one little element that I think is not easily disclosed or revealed when we're talking about GMOs. And that is, you know, we've got this system in our gut. And it's called a microbiome. We got trillions of bacteria in there that contribute to our overall health. I mean, when do we ever think that bacteria and viruses and parasites were good for us? Well, they are. I don't know about the parasites, but at least the bacteria and the viruses are, because they contribute to the normal physiology of our body. And more on that on a future session. I sound like a broken down record, but I'm just going to repeat myself. The point that I'm getting at is that these GMOs will then affect how these bacteria function, and therefore the delivery or the ability of glucose absorption, the ability of making certain kinds of fatty acids that our body needs to function properly. So again, I digress here for a moment. So let's get back. So what's happened over these last, you know, 15,000 years is that our Paleolithic ancestors did not eat all the things that we eat today, like wheat, like rice, like potatoes, like corn. And our bodies are not accustomed to process these, and we eat them in not just normal amounts, but in excessive amounts. So not only the excess is a problem, but the fact is that they're not normal nutrients that our body requires. And then you add to that the problem that many of these nutrient poor products that we're eating, either processed food or otherwise, they lack, as the term refers to, the nutrients that we need. And so with a lack of nutrients and with the higher levels of different types of toxic exposures, you know, whether it's in our food or whether it's in our environment or whether it's the toxins released by the stresses that we have on a day-to-day life, our bodies are not getting the nutrition it needs to combat that. So what happens? We get dysfunction. We get high blood pressure. We get heart disease. We get cancer. And there is a big one. You know, we do get cancer. And one of the biggest contributors to cancers, and hear me out on this one, it's a drug that's available everywhere. And it's legal. And it's the worst of its kind. And you may or may not know which one I'm talking about, but it's pretty much in everything, in every processed food. That's sugar. And sugar is the favorite food source for cancers and is very specifically related to certain kinds of cancers. And the average amount of refined carbohydrates that the American person eats daily is about 55%. When our Paleolithic ancestors predominantly had, what, 8 fats and meats, some roots, some berries, and maybe some other carbohydrates. So where is the problem? Well, the problem is twofold, right? We've got all these marketing geniuses telling us all these wonderful foods that we can be consuming, but tell us nothing about the real quality of it because we don't understand any of that. And then we have all these gurus, these diet gurus promoting all their different types of diets that you are supposed to take and it's going to be good for you. And the best example is the vegan diet. You know, people are saying how wonderful that is. And then they go on the vegan, you know, journey and then they feel so much better. But long term, actually, it's not good for you because it makes sense. What I want to share with you that regardless of any of those diets out there, and while the Mediterranean diet might be best suited for all of us, regardless of, you know, what your thinking is, the real truth is that you really don't know what your best diet is or your best nutritional plan is unless you're measuring the specific biomarkers. You got to measure the biomarkers. You got to know what's going on in your body. And this is the fundamental message of everything that I'm going to share with you throughout this health optimization journey 2022, is that if we want to make any changes in our life, when it comes to our health, and quite frankly, in anything else, you got to know where you're starting from. What is your starting point? What's the baseline? So that not only can you see, you know, where the major imbalances are and where you need to begin to focus on, but you can also monitor over time. And are you optimizing that? And you know, when I talk about optimizing too, I mean, what is that really, right? You know, we've got these normal ranges of different nutrients, but are they actually the right ones? And so I'm throwing you a whole bunch of different things that just to start to put things in context so that you begin to embrace all of it without just drilling down into one particular rabbit hole right now and lose sight of everything else. And I've seen that over and over again when somebody just reads something that they think, oh my gosh, right now I've got to take, you know, high levels of vitamin C and I'm going to be fine. Well, that's not exactly true. High levels of vitamin C, you know, can cause problems as well. And so getting those biomarkers are really important. And it does require, you know, clinical labs, functional lab diagnostics, so that you can then begin to understand, you know, what the relationship with all these different biomarkers. But that's also for another day. But here's something that you can do right now. And just get one of those apps. You know, my favorite is Lose It. It's a great app. I think there's a free version and there's also a monthly one that you can have as well. And basically what it's doing, it's measuring you know, all your macronutrients that you're taking on a daily basis. And then based on that and whatever else you're monitoring, whether it's your weight, whether it's your energy, you know, whether it's your mental fortitude, if you will, and most importantly, whether it's your biomarkers, then you can make a determination, you know, am I on track to eat the right amounts? Again, getting away to high levels of refined carbohydrates, that just eliminate those entirely. And having at the minimum, and again, this is not a specific recommendation on my part, but I'm looking at it for perhaps practical purpose, at a minimum, you know, an even balance of all three, your fats, your proteins, and your carbohydrates. I do something different. You know, some other people will recommend different things. And again, you know, certain medical conditions may require a specific percentages. You know, some cancers do better on a ketogenic diet, and some cancers do better on a higher carbohydrate diet. That's something that you will have to determine with your own physician. And so do not take this as any kind of specific advice as to what it is that you can do for yourself, but they are differences. And so what happens, so that you understand, is this. Once again, you know, we've got 22,000 genes. And of those 22,000 genes, we've got 2 million switches. Our nutrients, what we consume on a day-to-day basis, will influence the expression of those genes. And so, well, for example, you may have heard of a vitamin called folic acid. And there are many cereals and other products fortified with folic acid. But here's the thing. That folic acid is not recognized by our bodies in the sense of it's not part of any biochemical system. And so this, but the product that we do need, the vitamin that we do need, the active form is called methylfolate. And this methylfolate affects a process which is called methylation. And we'll be talking more about methylation in the future, but methylation is an important part in at least 200 biochemical processes, critical biochemical processes in each cell that affect our energy processing, as well as, for example, our detoxification, so getting rid of the toxins and getting, you know, rid of the free oxygen radicals, things like that. And then, of course, the DNA expression. And so what you eat really matters. Nutrient-poor foods, based on how they've been grown, commercially grown, is going to be a problem. Commercially grown beef, for example, has high levels of omega-6 versus omega-3. When you have more omega-3 fatty acids, you're going to have more inflammation in the body. You're going to have higher cholesterol levels, and you're going to be at a higher risk of developing what's called metabolic disease. And so, again, knowing what your micronutrients are and the balances of all the micronutrients is critical for optimizing your health. So assess your nutrition. You know, what is it like for you? Do you really feel that you're eating healthy? And most people I talk to, they say, yeah, I have a really healthy diet. And I had a really healthy diet too, by the way, as I shared in an earlier podcast. And I was taking these shakes. And prior to that, my omega-3 and 6 ratio was fine. And then I was doing these shakes every single day. They're lovely shakes, by the way. But I used almond milk. And I wanted to stay away from dairy, or something I was trying out. Was dairy not good for me? And then I added a whole bunch of nuts. My favorite was almonds. And only to find out that the ratio 6-3 is like 2,000 to 1. So I was overloaded omega-6 fatty acids. I didn't even know it. And I thought I was doing something really healthy when I wasn't. So it's up to you to begin to assess, okay, what is your nutritional plan? You know, how are you doing your cooking? You're better off cooking at home. You're better off eliminating all the refined carbohydrates. You know, I know it's hard. You know, bread is tasty, right? You got to start avoiding all those. You know, avoid sugar. That's the big one. That is the biggest contributor to chronic disease and inflammation. So start avoiding sugar. And again, in a future session, We'll do a deep dive in how to optimize what you're eating, how you're eating, and so that it's going to make it a lot easier for you. On the nutritional level, I'm just going to add one more thing because we're kind of running out of time, and that is fasting. You know, fasting is so important, and it's part of our natural balancing system within the body. We must fast on a regular basis. Now, before you go into this whole fasting concept, read about it or wait to my podcast where we do talk about fasting and how to do it. But it's about cellular renewal. It's about detoxification. It's about helping your telomeres. You've probably heard of that term. That determines, you know, how long you're going to live. Those are the little tails at the end of chromosomes. And with each division, that tail gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And so with fasting, you're able to keep those telomeres long. Really important part. And here's a statistic that you're going to want to know, that only 5 to 10% of all chronic disease is truly genetic. I actually think it's a lot lower than that. So what does that mean? You're susceptible to all the environmental factors. And one of the biggest ones is what you consume. And the problem is that the influence, the impact is so insidious, and it's going to take years and years and years to have its effect. But the thing that I want to ask you, are you going to wait for that revelation and look back and say to yourself, I should have made some better decisions? So the final decision that you're going to want to make is movement. You know, typically our Paleolithic ancestors, they were walking around 8 hours a day, doing sprints here and there, and then resting. But nowadays, the average person is sitting down for 12 to 16 hours every single day, and it's causing havoc on your body. And just working out for 1 hour a day is not enough. And science proves this. You've got to be moving throughout the day, whether it's standing up, whether it's kneeling, you know, whether it's just cross-legged, you know, because it's the body movement is critical in making sure that the enzymatic processes in your blood vessels are working well, because after 20 minutes of sitting, those enzymatic processes stop and you start accumulating fat in the walls of the blood cells. But not only that, it affects your circadian rhythm. It affects your hormone metabolism. You know, all these different things that we must be aware of. And so when you look at people that grew up in what's called the blue zones, and as we look at their diet, as we look at their social relationships that are major contributors to why they live so long till there are hundreds, another part is movement. They're constantly moving throughout the day. And certainly with every 20 minutes, they're walking or going out. So no longer can you just rely on spending 60 minutes in the gym. You got to find a way to be moving around all throughout the day, whether it's also standing every 20 minutes, whether it's doing a few jumping jacks every 20 minutes, you know, whatever that is for you, whatever is possible for you, your body will like it. Your body will love it. Your brain is even going to be better because of it. So moving around, find a way to do that. And you know what? Sometimes I get caught up in the excitement of preparing for something like this or getting some other creative thing that I'm doing. And then I sit around for too long. And then my body, you know, screams at me later on. You know, you're ignoring your health. And here am I, right? Being a proponent and exemplar of health. And yeah, I got a lot to work on. So there is no excuse. There is no excuse for everyone. But movement helps the mood. You know, exercise, by the way, it's almost like Prozac and Adderall. It elevates the enkephalins, the opioid, and the endogenous opioid, you know, hormones, neurotransmitters to make us feel good. You know, it helps detoxify the body. It helps remove fat. And the other part is it optimizes your energy balance. When you've got excess, you know, glucose in your system and you're not burning it out, you got a lot of more free oxygen radicals, you running around your systems that then cause all sorts of dysfunction in your cells, in your DNA, causing you chronic disease at the end. So last thing, 17% of the population experiences depression at some point of their lives, with a yearly cost of $26.1 billion healthcare costs. I wonder what it's going to do on the GDP. But here's what's interesting, is that according to the WHO, the World Health Organization, depression is the leading cause of disability in the U.S. after heart disease and cancer. And there's a very strong correlation between lack of exercise and depression. So if you're feeling kind of blue, go for a walk. Even if it's 1 mile three times a day, it's going to help. So I'm hoping you're getting some context of what are the areas that you need to focus on. We focused on three today. Mindfulness is the fourth one. Didn't want to dive into that one. But make your assessment. Have the awareness of what might not be working for you when it comes to your sleep, your nutrition, and your exercise. And start laying out a plan. And next time, I think what we're going to talk about is a deep dive on your biomarkers so that you can figure it out. Or we might go straight into a deep dive for sleep. I'll decide next week. And reach out to me. I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, the doctor's guide for a prescription for your transformation. And you can find me on my website, drrademacher.com. That's D-R and then Rademacher, R-A-D-E-M-A-K-E-R.com. I'll be back.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Join Dr. Bart Rademacher live right here on StarWorldwideNetworks.com or on demand 24/7.